Hey, 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 this is the Bachelor Masters coming at you from rainy Los Angeles. So, easier, I got an idea.
Uh-huh.
Kit's date, we got to see, 5 minutes of it?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to spend the whole podcast talking about just that one date.
No!
No!
There's so much there. There's so many subtexts and funny lines and... We could just spend an hour talking about that.
Oh my gosh. The secret ingredient is salt and vanilla, you idiot. She has no idea how to cook. I don't believe that she knows how to bake or cook.
The secret to chocolate cookies is chocolate. Come on, wasn't it
fun?
Oh
boy.
When she told him she's falling in love with him, didn't you believe it?
Oh, wow. No, I absolutely didn't. Also, she's 21, and she looks like she's, 15 years younger than him when they stand side by side.
You know who she looks like? She looks like Nathan Fielder with just blonde hair. She looks like this man.
Who's Nathan Fielder?
I know who you're talking about, and I can see it. If you put, long blonde hair on him. Yeah, I can see it.
Who's Nathan Fielder?
Especially. They have similar mouths, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Nathan Fielder is one of my favorite. He's my best friend. He doesn't know it yet. He's the Nathan for You
creepy
guy. Yeah, yeah. I'd be creepy around
the
him.
The Nathan for You guy. Okay.
It's a show called Nathan for You. He's a comedian. I mean, he's a comedian. He's
okay.
Interpret. What do you want? I want to call it performance art comedian.
Okay.
I don't know any way to describe him.
And you think that Kit looks like him?
Yes.
Okay.
Not a compliment.
I mean, he's not ugly. He's a normal looking guy.
But he is a man, obviously a man.
Yeah, I don't think Kit looks masculine per se, but I definitely see the resemblance between the two. Nose shape and mouth shape is similar, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have a soft spot for Kit, so there.
Well, it's more like they both look young and androgynously young. Not like the way a 13-year-old looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that when they showed them walking into the kitchen together and it was Kit standing next to Matt, I was she's fully 2 feet shorter than him, basically. half of his body size. It was extreme height difference.
Yeah. The fact that he didn't cut her is a little bit worrisome. He's not cutting enough women, or he's not cutting women that need to be cut. And he's giving lots of women reassurances. During their little time together. So, what's Kit supposed to believe? Oh, yeah, he really does like me. No, he doesn't. There's just no reason he should have given her a rose.
I'm very confused by Matt in that he keeps on having these dates and interactions with women where it seems he's saying he's super into them. He's making out with them a ton. And I can't tell, what his taste is or who he actually likes, because he does it to, all of them.
Does it to all of them, right.
Yeah.
Including Kit.
I, almost want to cry.
Oh, my gosh, Kit!
My happy place is, in the kitchen with my mom. And I've told him that. So if he were to do something that for me, it would just, oh, my God, it would make me so happy.
Has everything. It has it has vocal fry, it has happy place. Oh my god.
This is unreal the way they're playing her. They don't care how we feel.
Well,
at
so they're
all.
Setting her up for Bachelor in Paradise. She'll make a killing on Bachelor in Paradise.
But no one's
she's definitely going on there.
Men are not that interested in her.
Well, 21-year-old
man, specific type of man, especially the New York City social scene thing. The fact that her mom is wealthy and famous would be an advantage to those type of people, you know?
I mean, you made me watch the first 10 minutes of Gossip Girl, so you're trying to tell me that she's not popular in the scene.
She's so... I don't, like, yes, at all the things included, she's rich, she's a socialite. Sure, okay, yeah, I guess that's true. But her being interesting? No.
Yeah, like, but that's... if you're, like, a horny 21-year-old guy, it doesn't matter if she's interested or not. Interesting, okay, or not.
Well, yeah, well, then, you know, throw... Then everyone is. Like, there's no one that's not.
Right. Well, when you're 21...
I mean, I think you've hit the, like, cis-hetero man nail on the head, EZR, that, like, any woman is attractive and interesting to any straight guy, because they just... they don't really care, for the most part. They're like, ooh, cute, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
at that age, I guess, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, at that age, you mature. Men mature just like any, and women mature. So.
Like a milk, yeah. whoa. Like, there's, I guess what I'm referring to is that there's women and men, but mostly women, that men, contestants, wait for to go on Bachelor in Paradise, and she's not one of them, that are like, I really hope. And then there's these women that, like, you know, five men are like, I really hope blah 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 is here. And right, then there's right, this, like, sexual tension energy that comes through the TV to them that's obviously undeniable. And to me, at first, it was very hard to pinpoint, and now I think I'm better at it.
Yeah, no, you're right. If you have I don't know, the Puerto Rico, Miss Puerto Rico universe come down the Bachelor in Paradise steps, that's one thing. And if you have Kit come down the steps, that's another thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes, exactly. The baseline, yes, they're all, like, somewhat desirable. Okay. Even Victoria, you know, there's got to be someone out there for her.
No.
But no. Then we talk about the women that men are like, wow, about. That's Kit's not one.
Huh. It's hard to tell on Bachelor in Paradise, I guess, because the only Bachelor in Paradise I've seen is the last one, and there were a bunch of men freaking out about Hannah G, who, yeah, I don't think has, like, sexual presence, right, per se. She has, like, cute, innocent presence, you know?
Oh, no, I totally see it. With Hannah G, and I think that's why she made... It goes back to Craig's theory. You know, you pick your top two for Fantasy Suite, and then you pick the third, which is the person you'd like to have sex with. Right. That third is not that interesting or fun or anything, but they're definitely have that high, yeah, sex appeal. And third tends to be the one that everyone's excited about for Bachelor in Paradise.
I think Matt might be an exception to that rule, because he might have three women that he's honestly interested in.
Oh, my gosh.
Seasons to be trusted.
This is a little different. He is not, I mean, Abigail, like, it was that first impression rose a pity rose, or is this one a pity rose? Like, this is not a refined process that you have to, you know, being on The Bachelor is not some tried and true method of finding anyone. So when she, like, puts all her faith in the process, I was like, why? Don't do that.
Abigail played Matt perfectly, though. She was my dad. Talk about
Abigail, I have to play this for you.
Who believes in the process?
I believe in the process. See? Craig believes in the process.
I'm an underrated singer, I'm telling you. I've said this before. You give me a few singing lessons. And I'd be
it's too late, really, Craig. You're too old. Yeah, you want to be the Velvet Fog or something?
But Abigail played Matt perfectly, because she brought up her dad leaving him. So yeah, that makes it seem like if Matt dumps her, then he's abandoning her too. So that bought her at least, you know, top five.
He's as all the girls learned with Sarah, he can be played like a fiddle if you just give him, like, you know, even the most Kit's ridiculous sob stories. Those are sob stories, but if you give him a real story like that, oh my gosh, you are sailing for a little longer. And Abigail, I don't think it wasn't, you know, intentional. Like the way Brittany's story wasn't intentional, but he genuinely reacted to like a sad or bad thing that's happening to them.
What was Brittany's story besides that she was getting bullied?
Well, that's it. She's getting bullied. She got Matt's sympathy, and now she was first rose.
I love hearing a gorgeous model say, "I've never been bullied before until right now."
Well, it's true. I mean,
I know it's true.
What's wrong with saying?
No, I just think it's funny. It's like, no, I'm sure she's never been bullied. She's probably been the most popular person every place she's been.
Oh, right. Well, you're right. Maybe it'll give her some perspective on how it really works.
Right.
Because I think sure she's been like, yeah, whatever. What's bullying? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Bullying's not a thing. People are overreacting. Well, we did kind of do what I had thought we would do at the beginning of the episode, which is talk about Kit. So, I mean, so far we've talked about Kit for, I don't know, 15 minutes. We can keep going.
All right. Well, I have a few Kit clips for both of you since you both love her. But I want to make sure we get to the rest of them because I still like, I think Victoria is worth a closure on her. So I guess if we're still talking about bullying, I'd like to play Kit's apology or her lack of or her like, she doesn't, I love how she doesn't admit it. But at the same time, she apologizes. But at the same time, she says nothing. This is gold.
I will say right now, I apologize for not being more open. And I, from now on, will do my very best to make it better.
More open.
More open.
Okay, Craig, what does that, you love Kit for some reason. What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Who was she apologizing to?
Generally apologizing.
Yeah, I think the new women in general. But yeah, that was the weirdest apology because the problem there has nothing to do with her holding back anything. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the problem is not Kit is not being open enough with the new women. That is like completely unrelated. It's more that they're making mean comments about them. Hmm. If anything, she's being too open.
Right.
Well, I think her intention or her the way you're supposed to get it, if you want to take it, it's a good way to be able to have it be taken different ways, is that she's obviously not being truthful, or she needs to be more accepting. Right after that, one of the women contestants, Ryan, do you know who that is, Craig?
Yes.
Okay. I love that she's like, basically, fuck all your fake apologies. What are you guys even saying is her two camera thing, which is so true. Especially Kits was the one that was like, oh, this is just bad, 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 bad.
Yeah, it was such a scramble right after Matt walked Anna out. All of the other women were like, oh, I have to apologize immediately. He's punishing the mean girls. Like, I got to make sure that I look good. And we're just like going wild to apologize.
Yeah. And I like Anna's like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. She has like the full meltdown and her eyes aren't as crazy when she has the full meltdown. How does that make you feel?
She closed her mouth for a little while.
Yeah, she actually like reverted back to normal face. Like I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's actually like the prettiest she's probably looked on this show because she's not making a wild looking face.
Yeah. I thought that whole sequence with Anna was pretty funny because she knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. And we all knew what was coming. Yeah. And then it came. You're cut. She's like, no.
I'm melting. I know she had like the whole like complete like oh shit look without looking crazy and then down the hill.
Do you have an Anna clip?
No, because It wasn't like good enough. Like she, her, it was all her, you know.
It was all her.
Like it wasn't. It was all her face. Like it was all her, like like freaking out. It was.
It
not,
doesn't come yeah. through the audio voice. Yeah, podcast. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. That makes
yeah.
sense.
And this is what we were saying, that the whole house acted a certain way, and then she decided to go along with it, and it was a festery, like, ugly house, and then Matt came in and snapped her out of it, and she was like, oh my gosh, what was I doing? Or she was just really scared to go home. Like, I can't really decide, and I like that Anna owned up to it more than MJ, if that makes sense.
Oh boy, yeah, we're going to have to talk about MJ because she's delusional.
Yeah. But at least, I mean, I guess comparatively, there's that. Anna could, I can see that maybe Anna is not that bad and just got swept up in the bullying house culture because she was round one women. Like, that's the only difference. There's a lot of studies, right? Where mm-hmm. you can take two people who are in the exact same socioeconomic place, culture, race, everything. But if you put them in groups and there's, you know, it results in tribalism. That's just 100% true. So why could, I don't think, like, it's possible that she is totally honest. That she did not mean to act that way.
Who, Anna?
Anna, yeah.
Yeah, I think you have a good point because even though she did seem like, I mean, the apology didn't read totally true to me, but at least she did admit to making a mistake. Mm-hmm. Like, she literally said she made a mistake, whereas Victoria and MJ are both still like, what are you even talking about? I've never done anything wrong. So I feel like at least there's that recognition that, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That was not okay. Even if I do think it's more of a situation where she was scrambling to try to stay and like worried about being kicked out more than she felt genuinely bad about what she did, because she wasn't totally truthful in the way she was describing it to Matt. She said, you know, she apologized immediately. She felt so bad. And it was like, well, we never saw any of that. But Anna also said, and I wrote this down because it was so wild to me, she claims that bringing up the escort rumor was specifically to not ruin Brittany's life, that she needed to bring it to attention so that it wouldn't become a bigger problem. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
It makes a little bit of sense, doesn't it? Like, it's like saying, I mean, okay, yes, it's her saying something that's a little bit, you know, it's like when you try to help by hurting. Like, you could see how she could think, no. You could see how she's trying to make other people think that it's a good thing to do. She's saying, like, yeah, look, I want to make sure you get ahead of this, even though there's no reason to.
Yeah, exactly. I think if that's the claim she's trying to do, then it's coming from a, you know, well, you should know that this is what people are saying about you, so you could get ahead of this rumor, even though she's the primary driver of the rumor.
Right. But, like, I think last week Craig said that that it might have been the lingerie woman that left that could have said
Oh, yeah,
too.
I said
so
that.
It's kind of
it
a different...
It could have been somebody else. Yeah, yeah, and she could have just been pushing it further. Yeah. But, yeah, it is odd because the way she chose to address it very much, you know, she brought up the escort rumor in front of all of the women on that group date last week, whereas if she was really trying to be like friendly to Brittany and say, people are saying this about you, she could have just went up to her one-on-one, you know?
See, this is where Bravo really got it.
Oh, the flashbacks.
Yeah, they do all the flashbacks.
Right. But it's not really fair because the flashbacks can be taken out of context. And I think she was trying to do, if we're giving her the benefit of the doubt, she was trying to do the two birds thing, right? She's wants to be part of the house culture, wants to be part of the fun of, you know, JV varsity type stuff, but she's also trying to, but she can always play, she thought at some point she could have played it off as, we are, you know, I'm trying to help the poor woman because she, there's a rumor, I started it, but yes, there's a rumor. So
yeah, I feel like the usual approach is to act like the reason to say these things is because the lead needs to know, right? But like, the normal way of doing this would be like, well, you're hiding it from Matt. Matt needs to know the truth about whatever's going on. And she didn't take that approach because she didn't tell Matt. No, the other women told Matt until Katie brought it up, right? So I think, yeah, I think what you're saying is more that she has a plausible deniability of saying that she's trying to help Brittany clear the air or whatever. Whereas on the other hand, she's the one like making the fog in the air that needs to be cleared.
There was a point where she had it and then she just kind of forgot about it and kept going. And that's the part where she kind of lost herself and said, oh, whoops, I went too far with that. Anyway, I love Victoria. I mean, okay, I guess we should just listen to the clips because we can listen to them for face value. And yes, this is totally true.
I make the house toxic. That's completely crazy. Completely crazy. And like, I know there's no truth to that.
Want a wife that's constantly creating drama? Or does he want a wife like me?
When did we switch to Victoria?
I switched because it's all about just the whole now. Bullying
yeah.
Thing.
Oh, I think okay. We're done with Anna anyway. There's not much else to say about her.
Okay.
There's the funny level of her completely admitting to what's true by being sarcastic about it.
Victoria.
You know, yeah, she's disassociating. She's fun. It's funny that she's so removed from the truth that she circled all the way back to it.
Well, here's the big question. Mm-hmm. And we're not the only ones to ask this question. I think everyone's wondering this. Is she for real, like legit crazy, delusional, and has a completely misinformed view of the world? Or is she acting and like her whole meltdown is just, you know, her playing it out? What do we think?
I have my take. Go ahead, guys.
Well, I don't know. I'm asking.
I think that this is her. I think this is like her personality, and maybe she's playing it up a little bit more, but that like, especially the breakdown when she was crying and stuff, it felt like if she's acting, she is good at it, you know?
Yeah. Well, what was that?
I don't know. Oh, sorry. That was my dryer saying it's done.
So my take is that, Victoria, and this is what I said, I think, 3 weeks ago, around there, is confiding in the producer and unloading, verbal vomiting, and at this point is getting her trust betrayed. I don't disagree that she brought a lot of joy to the house. I guess we should play this.
The whole house is gonna feel like that I'm gone. Like, I brought so many people joy.
She did. I'm sure everyone was.
Yeah, I think she did.
They all
actually
did like her for a period of time. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's the same producer that she confides in like 3 weeks ago. It's the same lady. And then she goes to the bathroom and then she goes outside and she's talking to the same woman. And it's not fair to, you know, this. I would feel, if I was that producer, I would feel like shit, because I'm sure Victoria considered her a friend, a good friend, maybe the best friend she had if she's saying all that. There's no one else she would say it to. And I think that's not, you know, that you can be disassociated and not cognizant of how wrong you are when you're spilling your guts to your friend, that, or when you're thinking out loud. I don't think that's totally like not okay. But then if your friend records it and plays back
right.
for the right moments, I mean, that's betrayal.
You think that she didn't think she was on camera when she was talking a lot of that. She was just talking to her friend, the producer, and they betrayed her by playing it on TV.
I think she might have known she's on camera, but it's in the back of her head. It's not really that, you know, she's not doing two camera things. Right. She thinks she's talking to a friend.
All right.
Yeah, that she sort of forgot in the moment that she's wearing a mic and everything is recorded. I think especially that makes sense in the context of the bathroom conversation, because she's not on camera in the bathroom, right? She's being mic'd. You're hearing the audio. Although it did, I laughed also because she took off her shoes and she's heels in her hand, and then she goes barefoot into the ladies' room. And, yeah, I clocked that immediately. But yeah, that conversation, like, she's walked out of where the cameras are and she's talking to a producer in there. And so she might have just totally, like, forgotten that, you know, she's mic'd up, that everything she says could be used. Similarly, when she goes outside and she's kneeling down and crying, she's not, like, the camera isn't right on her most of the time. And right. She kind of, like, walked out of frame to have a conversation, right. And then the camera followed her there.
Right. I think we're not missing the point. We're glossing over the fact that some of the things that she said are so not tied to reality.
But, Craig, but the point is that when you're venting, you don't have to tie yourself to reality. You can just go bleh. And that's what's and you know, if those moments were captured for everybody, I don't think anyone is that realistic.
I see what you're saying. That's a good point.
Yeah. I do have to say my favorite moment of Victoria's meltdown is when she's talking to Matt and he says, you know, he's telling her about what Ryan said to him, that Victoria said to her, which is that she called her a hoe because she's a dancer. And Victoria says that was taken out of context. Yeah. And Matt says, you know, what context would it be acceptable to call someone a hoe in?
Yeah. I love that line by Matt, because what is that called? And he ended in a preposition. Is that right? Which you're not supposed to do, but I thought it came out perfectly. He's like, so what?
Yeah, it was very funny.
In what context is calling someone a hoe in? Whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's an excellent point that, like, there really is no good context where you could make that comment not sound bad, you know?
She didn't have an answer for that, I don't think. You're cut.
Well, I totally think that, like, MJ is the smart version of Victoria.
Yeah, who yeah.
Totally well, turns there was it someone around who and plays it. That,
like, the soul, the spirit of Victoria left Victoria's body and entered MJ.
Well, yeah, that's not really fair, because I'm sure MJ's been the same person all along, and we shouldn't discount how bad she's been. You know, right. We shouldn't. It's not some evil that possesses you. It's you.
And yeah, we'll talk about her. Delusional. MJ seems to think that she hasn't done anything wrong, and that she leads by example. I lead by example. Example. Lead by example.
What does that mean?
What example?
Yeah, she leads by example, and she said she preaches peace and harmony.
Yeah, she said that a few times. She said that, like, in week one or week two too. She said something like, I believe in energies, and in here there's not good, like, she said something like that. I think we could get into it next week, because I have her wordplay you know, cut out, because of the way she approaches the women is very methodical. And there's a lot there. I don't think it's worth diving into yet unless you guys want to. But one thing I will say about MJ that really bothered me, other than the obvious things that, you know, Jesenia is actually super right. And I love the way she did that fourth wall thing where she's like, when this the tape comes out, you're done. And it's true. And she stood up to herself and
ran
to her. And she's totally right anyway. But I think something that's really bothering me about MJ that's been happening is that she's playing the role of, like, kind of like a tough, she's appropriating, like, a tough urban thing as, like, a racial stereotype. And it's
big hair, big hoops, big energy line.
Big hoops. She's saying, she has little, like, mannerisms that and little phrases she's saying that are obviously because she thinks she's dating this black man that she can say these things all of a sudden. Or she's getting into a fight with these people of color. Now she can act that way. And it's very It's very subtle. And even the way she's fighting is very like, you can't talk to me like that. Like, I have this white woman privilege, totally like a white woman privilege thing. But, you know, she goes where she hits the niches she needs to hit to be where she needs to be. When she needs to be number one, you don't talk to me like that, she's number one. When she needs to be, quote, down on their level, you know, obviously sarcasm implied, then she's that way. And I think that's my biggest issue with her right now. And I think that's the root of the way she's lashing out.
I think she's very smart and very canny, right? Because you think of how, like, for instance, comparing it to Victoria and Katie's confrontation last week, where Victoria was completely stymied by Katie, just like not falling in line with what she was claiming. And MJ is much better at arguing in that way, right? The way she's approaching the other women and just asserting that what she's saying is true, and she's absolutely demanded an apology, and, you know, of course she's right, so how dare they, you know? And it was very interesting to me that I couldn't tell if she completely 100% believes that, you know, she's never done anything wrong, she's never made any of these comments about the new girls or all of that, or if she's very manipulative and smart and is really good at kind of covering her tracks and confusing everyone around her with her narrative that's different, you know, like sort of I think she's much better at this than the other villains so far.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, I have MJ's clips with Victoria's clips, but we don't really have to get into it because I don't feel like we don't need to get into it until it's resolved. Like, I don't know if everyone, like, you know, when MJ came back and confronted the smaller group of women and said, who was it? The woman happened to be there. Although I don't know that it didn't come out of more than one woman's mouth. There's no reason why Jesenia had to get pulled into that.
Yeah.
More than anyone else. But Katie kind of stood with her because that's what is right to do. That was true. And I don't know how this is going to end. So I don't think it's like, unless you guys want me to play what I cut out of her defense. But I want to look at it in more 2020, more than right in the middle of the fight.
Well, considering you've said now 5 times that you don't want to get into it today, let's not get into it today.
All right. Well, I'm saying it because I don't think it's fair to, I don't think it's, you know, like, why, if the actual program, the show, is going to end on MJ being right, then it's worth getting into. If they're going to end on MJ being wrong, then, you know, should we get into it? So, like, I just want to make sure.
It depends who gets the rose. If MJ gets a rose, then it's one thing, and if she doesn't, it's another thing.
Or if she defends herself and it seems credible, even if she doesn't get the rose.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put money on the fact that, well, not the fact, I'm going to put money on her.
Oh,
not
good money.
Oh, how much card. Money? I'll put a tap card.
Okay.
On her not adequately defending herself, melting down and not getting a rose.
All right. I'll put a tap card on her. Yeah, I mean, I guess it wouldn't make any sense, but you never know. Maybe he wants to cut Jesenia, who has been really smart.
Well, he could cut both of them.
Yeah, that's true. He could.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point. He could cut both of them. I do feel like it's more likely than not that MJ goes, just because even what we saw at the end of the episode with her and Jesenia sitting down together, she's already starting to melt down in that end of the episode, right? Like, Jesenia is very calm. And everything she's saying, from, you know, what we can tell from having seen the show, is completely accurate. Mm-hmm. And she knows that it is. So she has this kind of confidence of saying, you know, like, I know what you did. I didn't lie about anything. Like, there's nothing you can really do to make me be in the wrong here. Mm-hmm. The only way MJ can, like, win this argument is if she convinces Matt that Jesenia is lying. And it seems like MJ, at least, is sort of spinning out already. I think she is starting to see the writing on the wall.
That That's kind of the best part.
You put my character in question with Matt. You put my relationship in jeopardy based off an accusation that you made about my character. I have never been more hurt in my life. I am furious right now. You should be embarrassed because we are here because of your actions right now.
Are you done?
Yes.
That's the best part. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that was very enjoyable to watch because everything she's saying is so outlandish. Like, Jasenia should be embarrassed that they're on this two-on-one date. Jasenia didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
So, Craig, we can go back to Kit now because there's more about... We did not go over the whole date like you want to.
Well, hold on. Let's take a broad look at the episode here. I feel like we're missing some things.
I don't think so.
You don't want to talk about Piper making out with them at the group date behind the barn?
You can. I don't have much to say about that. That's fine. What's wrong with
you? I don't know. And then we can talk about what else happened.
You saying that just talked about it. So you just talked about it by saying that. So that's, we covered it, right?
All right. We can talk about Kit then. I'm just
Do we want to do a quick start? Like, I'll say what happened on this episode. We can decide where else to.
Easier, if you want to talk about Kit, we can talk about Kit.
Oh my God. Craig. We had to convince you out of making this the Kit show, and then you're like, oh, I guess. So, if she's going to be so vulnerable, we have to play this. He is so vulnerable? I thought that was your song, Craig, so I pulled it out. Maybe I have another one.
Wait, what on earth was that?
It's one of our things that we record. It's one of our drops.
I'm totally confused here. When over the song it said you're so vulnerable, that was part of the recording, or was that you just now saying that?
That was part of the recording.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I know you don't, because we never play it. Well, here's a clip of Kit being vulnerable only because she says she's vulnerable, not because anything she does, says, or feels is vulnerable.
Growing up, like, my mom being such a success story, I think that I was protecting myself, and like getting in touch with my emotions is something that I've never practiced before. And being here and letting those walls down is the first time I've ever, like, really had to be vulnerable. So I think that's the hardest part, is just knowing that once one wall is broken down, like, you get to see all of me.
Aww. You know, I think what about Kit I like is she really does
trying to feel things, huh?
Oh, I was just going to say, I really feel like she reminds me of what it is to be 21. She reminds me of what it was like being that age.
Yeah, that's a very 21-year-old speech about how, you know, she's never had to be vulnerable before. And in my head, I'm just like, you're in college. So, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I've never been in love. I've never had to let my walls down. It's like, well, yeah, because you're 21. So that's not shocking.
That's what it reminded you guys of? I was completely like, what kind of removed reality are you living in? This is some kind of feat?
I don't know.
Been practicing trying to feel things. That's what it sounded like.
That is what it sounded like, and it's a weird explanation to me, in that she prefaces her, you know, she's never had to feel feelings and she's never had to be vulnerable speech with that the reason she hasn't had to do that is because her mom is famous, which is a kind of weird. I mean, I guess there's a point in that, like, being a child of a well-known designer means that probably you would get scrutinized by, like, New York society people, right? So there's, like, a higher chance of that, but she's not, like, Cynthia Rowley is not, like a movie star. Nobody's really paying attention to her children until Kit appeared on this show. So it is weird that her explanation is like her mom was very successful, which somehow means that Kit has a hard time having feelings.
It was like a humble brag plus a, hey, you better know who I am going forward, and how can I spin this into a kid's, into a sob story? It like makes no sense.
Having a successful mom is just, wow, it really fucks you up, man. You know, like, you can't.
She said something that made no sense. She's like, I've never been taught to feel things. I mean,
but see, this is part of what I'm trying to say is when I was 21, I didn't make any sense either.
But that's not, she's trying to tie, okay, there's a difference between that and her trying to tie in all the things she's trying to do. She's trying to name drop, she's trying to turn it into a sob story, she's trying to talk about herself and get enough airtime to make herself at least get, you know, mm-hmm. what, 500K more followers. There's a lot of points she's trying to hit that has nothing to do with being 21.
Okay, that's true. But it, okay, yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I can't even take that, like, that angle, because I don't feel like that's the point. Unless there's, I mean, I guess you could, you know, if you really want to just take it at face value, but obviously she's just trying to advance her career.
Yeah. Well, why, there's no rational reason for her to be on the show whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost like her mom paid for her to be on the show. I mean,
yeah,
it's like
she is like promoting her mom's brand too, because I know the dress she wore on that first night is one of her mom's dresses.
Oh, really?
And I suspect that a lot of the other dresses she wears are too.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about Rachel and her date.
Go ahead.
Ugh.
I can see
what's
we
wrong
all
with Rachel?
Well, so I don't like her for, I guess, a number of reasons. But Rachel is, she gets the shopping one-on-one date where they do, yeah, you know, the fancy shopping.
We'll talk about it at the fashion report, actually.
Yeah, I haven't liked her very much since the beginning, because she just gives me like weird phony vibes. I don't know why, but I didn't like this date very much, because it seems like Matt is very into her, and I think that's because she's like traditionally pretty, she's got like a sexy vibe happening, she's religious, he loves that, you know, so all of that kind of plays into her appeal. But yeah, the whole stuff where she talks about when he puts the Louboutin shoes on her, and she's like, I've never had a pair of shoes that is more than $40. It's like, that's a lie. You absolutely have.
What is she doing?
Yeah.
Is she a model?
She's a marketing person, I think. She's 24. Yeah, I think she's definitely a front runner. And he says he's falling in love with her back when she says it.
Mm-hmm.
When Kit says it, he like kisses her and gives her a rose. He doesn't say it back. He says it back to Rachel.
Yeah.
So she's definitely more upfront, but yeah, I just feel like she's so cheesy in this way that makes me feel like she's fake, right? Like when they do the horse-drawn carriage ride, and he asks if she has a hand warmer, and she's like, right here, you're my hand warmer, you know? It's just so cheesy in a way that is like really unlikable to me.
Yeah. Well, just like Brittany, you know, I thought it was funny when she was like, I've never been bullied. Well, of course you haven't. It's like Rachel's like, I'm so insecure and, you know, question myself. It's like, what? How could that possibly be the case?
That conversation is so wild to me. Not because she says she's insecure, because you can be super beautiful and still feel insecure, you know? It's more the way he talks about it to her. First, he says, maybe it's in a to camera, that what he loves about her is, you know, she's so confident and self-assured.
Exactly.
And then she tells him she's not confident or self-assured at all. And he says back again, like, oh, I just love how confident and self-assured you are. And it's like, did you listen to what she just said to you? Because she said she's not those things.
Well, I was listening to the Rose Pricks last night, and they made a good point that they seem to think that Matt doesn't really listen to what the women say to him. He only listens to the mood of what they're saying. So he just mood. Like, because he kind of blindly ignores what Rachel says right there. Exactly what you just said, Caitlin. He didn't listen to her. That's
very
she's not
odd,
confident.
Right?
I don't agree that he always does that, though.
Well, they didn't back it up with proof like we do here on The Bachelor Masters.
Right. Like, maybe that one time, but I was like, I mean, it was all just floof. Like, it had no substance. So I wasn't even, you know, like, following every word because it was not important. Like, they just like each other. That's just what it seemed like. So I just, you know, when you like each other, you say dumb. You know, remember, Craig, I think we always have a Seinfeld for it, right? Schmoopy, like, it's just so stupid, and you just don't care anymore what you say.
Yeah, the Schmoopy episode, that's the Soup Nazi episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like Claire and Dale, right? Like, whenever Dale would say anything, Claire would always be like, yeah, me too, exactly the same. I also have that, and no matter what he said. And so I feel like he's doing a similar thing here, Matt, where it's like, Rachel could say anything and he'd be like, I love that about you, you know?
Do we have any Rachel clips?
No. That's exactly my point. I'm not going to clip something out that is just schmoopy. Like, you know, oh, schmoopy, you're going to be, you know?
It's
not worth it.
Don't like it at all. And I guess the other thing we should mention is that there's a lot of online talk about how she comes from a family of extreme Trump supporters. And
so does Matt.
So does Matt. His mom is a Trump person. So a lot of people are upset about this because it's very much like, you know, first Black Bachelor might choose a white MAGA Southern woman. So that's not ideal, but at the same time, like, this is it's the culture he comes from. Like, he comes from being raised by a single white mom who is definitely a racist.
Well, this is kind of what I'm talking about with MJ. She just wants the superpower of saying, I dated a Black guy, so she can say whatever she wants. This is the power they're looking for. So I feel like MJ's in that.
The power of being able to say, I can't possibly be racist because I have a Black boyfriend, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have some fashion stuff, and weirdly, only because it really stood out to me.
Okay, hit it. This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Anna's 90s hair. Like, Austin Powers, high back ponytail, and with the bangs split down the middle to the side, tucked in behind her ears. That is the 90s look I've seen on The Bachelor, even when it was around in the early 2000s. Like, there's not been a more 90s look than that to me.
I liked it, actually.
All she needed was, like, glitter. All she needed was, like, glitter eyelid stuff.
Right.
I don't know what it's called. What's it called? Like, whatever that's
You know
called.
What you're describing is the
Austin Powers.
Do you remember the wedding singer with Adam Sandler?
Yes. I mean, I don't.
Do you remember Julia Giulia's sister? Do you remember that? Okay, that's kind of what you're describing, I think.
No, there's a million looks like that. If you watch real, you know, 90s TV, every hot blondish woman is going to have that. Not even true. Any hot girl is going to have that hairdo. Like, especially the bangs split down their middle in the front and tucked in behind their ears. I started getting into like a rabbit hole of watching sitcoms on YouTube that aren't, you know, Friends or Seinfeld or any other 90s sitcoms. I mean, like, Two Girls and a Pizza Place or The Naked Truth. And
oh my
remember
God.
All those shows, Craig? Remember The Naked
Unfortunately.
Truth? Yeah, unfortunately for me, too.
So if you watch the real thing, those are the real, like, the single guy. Oh my God, the single guy. Watch that again. It's so bad. But those are like the classic looks, right? That or like really, really short hair.
All right.
I liked her whole look, actually, but the she was wearing a silver sequin like wrap dress with the 60s hairstyle, 60s slash like 90s revival of 60s hairstyle, and she had these sort of square earrings as well. And I thought it's the best look that she's had on the show.
She looks good in red. She should just stick to red. Like the silvery thing is what made it over the top 90s to me, not the actual dress or the cut, but in the 90s, we would wear a lot of glitter, silver makeup, and, like, you know, weird lipsticks and blushes and stuff like that. So, Delia's catalog all over again.
Oh my God, I loved the Delia's catalog.
Why couldn't
Easier stay? Coming on strong in the fashion roundup.
Well, because it really was... I mean, it was out of place.
Yeah.
No one else is dressing 90s on this show. Was it? No. Fashion people, wasn't it?
No, you're right.
It's a bold look. That's... Yeah, she's the only one who did that exact look. Although I did see a lot of people doing the similar, like, thin black eyeliner cat eye. They're all doing that on first night.
Yeah, but that's not 90s. That's now. That's so
no, now. No, yeah, that's very now, too. But I noticed it as part of her whole, you know, her whole style and look. And then I was like, oh, Kit has the same eyeliner on. So does, like, every other woman.
Yeah, yeah. Why couldn't they say Louis Vuitton? Like, what's, is that?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. We never got a product placement. Well, I mean, we got product placements, but we never got a name to the products on air.
Yeah. No, they called it, the other women asked about the red bottoms. Do they have red bottoms?
Yeah, that's like a total, I mean, did Sex and the City get any money? Like, where's the line there with copyright and infringement?
I don't feel like Sex and the City got money for a lot of its placements because so much of it was about, you know, being like, oh, this is the high fashion style. So they're talking about what's hip. I don't know if they got kickbacks for any of that. And I wonder if ABC just drew a line to be like, if we're not getting money for it, you don't get the brand name said.
Right. But they did make a point of pointing out that they did have red bottoms. Because when she gets out of the car, they show her feet getting out of the car with the red bottoms.
He also hands them to her. Like, they also, that's the first thing she sees. And then all the women mention it. Like, it's more than just that.
Yeah.
It's not like we caught it. It's like they made a point of saying these are expensive shoes. Everyone knows what they are.
Yeah, they made a huge point of it because when he hands her the shoe box and she opens it up, when she gasps, it's at the red bottom of the shoe, right? Like, it's like, oh, it's a designer.
You know? She doesn't even care about the shoe. She just cares about the red bottom.
No, because it's a very plain, boring shoe, honestly.
The same reason that people like diamonds.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, why didn't they mention it? Or why, you know, I understand that it's not really about the shoe itself. My last thing, and then you guys can go crazy. Go ahead with Victoria's dress that I would not have noticed unless you said something to me, Craig. Unless you threatened to kick me off
this podcast. I did not threaten to kick you off the podcast if you liked Victoria's dress.
I have receipts.
In fact, I threatened to stop the podcast entirely.
Is that supposed to be better?
Victoria's... This would be the last episode. It still could be. This could be the last episode of The Bachelor Masters if you come out right now and say you liked your dress.
Describe the dress, guys. So one of you two, describe the dress.
You know what it is? It's exactly the kind of dress that I mention on the podcast from time to time that I just don't understand. It, like, the the foofy prom dress.
This is not a foofy prom dress. This is like the... This is like a prom nightgown style.
Let me explain. Dress. It's something about the material. To me, it's all about the material. It's like this shiny, but it probably is really itchy kind of material that all prom dresses were made out of when I was going to prom, you know, late 90s. Uh-huh. So I could just feel the itchiness, and I don't like how it looks.
Well, how do you know it's itchy?
How do you feel the itchiness, Craig?
Because it's just the material it's made out of. I can just sense it.
Outside and not the inside. I mean,
yeah. Have you worn that material before?
You guys.
It's weird that you care about that part.
It's just a material.
I look at a wool sweater and I'm not like, oh. I just go, oh, that person wants to wear that.
I didn't like any of the prom dresses that people wore to prom in the late 90s, and that was the same material that those dresses were made out of.
Okay,
and so I don't like it.
Caitlin, can you describe the dress?
Yes, I'll describe the dress. So the color is sort of dark champagne flesh. Is what you might call it. It's like a brownish, but not like a light brown.
The Necronomicon.
How about like flesh book? How about a light poo color?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't think it's exactly a light poo color, but that's accurate. It's like a light brown. In a shiny, like, maybe satiny, but probably like a imitation satin sort of thing. And the cut is it's very thin spaghetti straps on top with like a deep V showing cleavage. And then underneath the cleavage, the waist kind of, you know, nips in there and then it expands out to this fuller skirt that has kind of folds in it. So when she walks, you can see that it's like it's a bigger skirt than you initially think. I actually thought it was pretty flattering on her.
And it has the slits on the outside of the leg.
Yeah, I was trying to tell if it was slits or just like how the fabric was falling when she walked. I'm not totally positive. But either way, it's the cut of sort of the skirt is in a way that there's like folds that go out on her legs and there might be high slits up there.
Okay, so for me, this, Craig, you say it's like your prom dress look. For me, it's like a very Angelina Jolie era dress. And what always stood out to me about Angelina Jolie specifically is that when a dress makes you look very natural, where it doesn't squeeze your breasts up, but it lets them kind of hang. And it's not what I grew up with as sexual. It just looks, kind of raw looking. And that's how I picture Angelina Jolie all the time for some reason. And I just assimilate the two in my head. I always think that's so strange that you choose that, only because this is a show that is so superficial. You don't want to go natural. You know, you want to go done up. It was a strange thing for her, for sure.
I think if Angelina Jolie had worn that dress, she would have been braless. And Victoria was wearing a bra because, as she does with most of her dresses, you know, there's some visible bra strap going on.
But it didn't do anything.
Okay. It didn't, her boobs were still very, like, they weren't pushed up in a way that you might expect from a bra. I thought it was, like, as far as the outfits that she's worn, I thought this dress looked better on her than most of the ones that she wears.
But
it's not something
not
I would
much.
Pick for me, but I was like, oh, that's actually more flattering than most of the outfits she chooses.
Craig, can you cishet man us? What happens? What happens when a dress lets your breasts drip down like that? What is that? Why?
Drip
just
down.
Just assume that there's nothing about her look that was attractive. So if that answers your question.
Okay. Different person, but that same look.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. You want them pushed up a little bit. Sure.
Do you? I mean, I don't know.
Can you tell the difference between like when a woman's wearing a bra and when she's not wearing a bra?
Well, I'll say this. So, you know, I work in academia. I'm around millennials.
It's like, where are you going with this, Greg?
Well, have you noticed it's a thing where millennial women don't wear bras? It's like it either is or was the hip thing for like the last five years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is a growing trend. It's something, I mean, you know, people in other generations do it too, but I feel like it's bigger with millennials and Gen Zers than it has been right. in the past. And right. for me, the one thing that, like, I remember in college, I had lots of friends who wouldn't wear bras. And I was always really jealous because I was like, I can't get away with this look because I need support, you know? Right. But if you have a small bust, you can get away with it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and I'm trying not, I don't want to come across as like a creeper. It's not like I'm like cataloging this or anything like
everyone
that.
Everyone notices things like that. There's not like a,
So I think I've seen my share of not supported breasts, but they're, maybe like Caitlin, maybe like what you're saying about yourself is that some people need support, and I think Victoria is one of them. I mean, there's just a certain droop that I guess is different than other droops. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Victoria does have, she has large boobs, right?
Yeah.
Which is You often want support if you're larger chested, because at least for me, like wearing a dress without a bra or without like a built-in, you know, some dresses will have like a built-in little thing so you can be backless or whatever. If you don't have some sort of thing, for me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to wear it because it just feels like too risky, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are, it's like a personal comfort level too, because there are definitely some people who are larger chested who are like, no, I feel totally comfortable being braless, you know, and like going out like that. And I'm just like, no, I couldn't. So like, I think a personal comfort level thing, the type of outfit that you're wearing kind of thing. And I guess there's also, you know, the fake boob versus real boob situation, because especially if you have like a bad boob job, they just stay up on their own and look kind of weird, you know?
Right. Well, I think like, I think that's the case. If you have fake boobs, they tend to stay up.
Yeah, and I feel like there's some very natural looking ones that you can get done, because sometimes you'll look at somebody and you can't tell, you know. But there are definitely people where you're like, oh, you have a huge chest and they don't move at all, so that's clearly fake.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Victoria's are obviously real. They do move and they need support.
So does that answer all your questions, EZR?
So you say you don't like that look no matter what. Men
don't. I don't. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you know, whatever. You don't speak for all men, blah, 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 blah. But yes, in general. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
This is why we have the fashion roundup. It's to educate our listeners on the wants and needs of cis hetero men.
Yay.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's so, I've always thought, Angelina Jolie, the most beautiful woman on the planet.
Oh.
It doesn't look good on her. Okay, let's just... Craig, do you think I'm really saying that? I don't care about that. I'm just saying in general. Everyone thinks that she is, and it doesn't even look good on her. Ergo, let this look go, people.
Right? Yeah. Well, Victoria is delusional enough probably to think that she has the figure of Angelina Jolie.
That was kind of my point a few weeks ago, that she is she's trying to go for this, like, I don't even need makeup. I need to, like, she thinks she looks good, like, in a strung out look, and it doesn't. Right. It looks strung out.
Right.
You know?
Well, Angelina Jolie was strung out for a period of her life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's still, even with having said that, she's still, like, considered the most beautiful woman ever. So, like, yeah, it's just a weird look. So. It's a bad look.
Okay.
Craig, can you really? I'm not saying that. I can't believe you'd say
that. I'm just teasing you.
She is the most beautiful woman ever. Like, but it doesn't matter. I get that. She's interesting. She's fun. She seems like a good mom. I don't know. Like, what's the, like, what can you, how can you say she's not the most beautiful woman ever?
Ever?
I don't know what that means. I have no idea what I'm saying. Audrey Hepburn? But this is like, we're talking about now. They're different, like, times. There's not, like, a factor of...
Those are also two, like, totally different types of look. You know what I mean? Like, types of beauty in terms of, like, obviously both very beautiful women, but they're, like, very different vibes.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Anyway.
Okay. Can we move on?
Go ahead.
What's next, Caitlin?
So I would like to point out a sweater that Matt wore, because I hated it, and it was on the evening portion after the farming group date. He wore a purple fuzzy sweater.
Oh, you didn't like the purple? You didn't like the purple?
I hated it. I hated it so much.
All right.
Just
I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
Something about like both the fabric type and that specific color, like I was like, ugh, no, I don't like this sweater. I don't like it on him. I don't think I'd like it on anyone.
Well, you want to talk about itchy EZR.
Yeah, that looks like an itchy sweater.
Mm. Yeah. Even if he's wearing an undershirt, which I don't think he was. That's got to be super itchy. But I don't know. I thought he looked good in purple. I mean, not many people wear purple. So, hey, wear purple.
You look good in blue velvet. Like, that looked rad.
I think he looks best when he's, like, either super dressed up, like a fancy suit kind of thing, or when he's, like, really dressed down. But the in-between stuff, I don't usually like his looks with, well, of course, he wore, like, a beige turtleneck again on one of these dates, like he does. I think it was the Rachel shopping date, actually. And, oh, we definitely need to talk about his outfit for Kit's date, because he explicitly says in, like, the introduction to the date that because Kit's such a fashionista, he always feels like he needs to dress to impress her. And then what he chooses to wear is like a gray hoodie that's kind of got like ribbing on it, gray jeans, a white denim jacket over the gray hoodie, and pink sneakers.
Mm. Pink? Oh, they were pink. I thought that was just my TV.
No, they're pink sneakers.
I thought it was like the reflection of red. I'm serious. Like, that's how...
I mean, I do like, pink and gray go together, don't they?
Whatever. They do, but I feel like as a look, if I was Matt and I'm thinking like, oh, I'm going on a date with somebody who is into fashion, so I'm trying to specifically wear like a fashion-y outfit to impress them, this was a very weird choice.
Don't you totally feel though that they just have to give him the lines? They're making him say everything except her product line because they're somehow indebted to her from their like cult devotion to any socialite that comes on. Like they could have put him in anything, and him saying that are two separate things.
Right. Like
true. I feel like compared to his other casual outfits, this wasn't even a particularly good one. Like I know EZR, you agree with me that he looks good in his like buffalo check flannel look.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would have been like a cute. This is like a casual outfit, but it's, I think I know what he was going for with like kind of the monochrome color scheme, right? Where it's all gray with then white and then, ooh, a pop of color on the shoes, you know? So it makes sense, but it just wasn't, it was not an outfit that I would put on and be like, I'm impressing, I'm dressing to impress, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we should talk about what Kit wore on that date too. Craig, did you notice this?
Well, yeah, but now that I'm like trying to access my memory logs of what she wore, all I can think of is that blue, baby blue hoodie she wears.
So she was not wearing that on the date. What she wore was like, it was either black or very dark blue high-waisted jeans. And then on top was a like a denim, kind of like a work shirt, you know, like a medium wash denim shirt, but instead of buttons, it had a big, thick, white zipper down the front. And it's a cropped shirt, so you can see, like, where her jeans end, sort of like a loose crop.
Right. Yeah. It didn't stand out to me. Let's just say that.
I didn't like the jacket at all. I felt like it was a very... I mean, it looks like the kind of thing that you would wear as an Instagram model because they gave it to you for free, not because it's actually cute.
Yeah. Well, the pressure was on her to dress like a fashionista, and she didn't succeed. Poor Kit.
No, what the? What is wrong with you?
Please. Do you think that top is from her own line? Do you think it's a Kit original?
Could be. Yeah. I don't know anything about her personal line. But
I guess certainly... I'm sure we'll find out if it is from her stuff. I bet that the baby blue sweatshirt is, because when I looked at her website, it was all sweatshirts. So
is Kit short for something? Like, is what's her real name, do you think?
Catherine, probably.
I think it's Catherine. Yeah, it's usually a nickname for Catherine.
Craig. Kit was the name of the car in
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
Okay, I'm sure you, like me, hate this look. Chunky Fila's, big pants, big sweaters on like millennial, Zoomers, like totally a Zoomer look.
Yeah, that's more of a Zoomer than a millennial thing.
All right, Zoomer look. That is so ugly. And then, honestly, Anna's hairstyle on top of that. Like that part of down the middle thing.
I have seen that on like, I follow some Love Island people on Instagram, and that's a look a lot of them will do, is a hairstyle like Anna's with like the really big chunky Fila shoes. And then sometimes they do bike shorts with a big sweatshirt on top.
So what is the, like, this is so ugly. How are you saying poor Kit? How are you? She is nothing. Like, that look is uninspired. It's ugly. It wasn't good back then. It's not good now. Well,
she probably had her stylist told her to wear it to promote her brand. So, yeah, poor Kit.
What is wrong with you?
I mean, it's her brand. So you would think.
Mike, Henna, and Kit, Hannah Ann.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you love this type of girl, don't you?
Yes, he does.
It brings me back to when I was 21. And it makes me feel nostalgic for that period of my life.
You
want to
have sex with them. Is that what you're saying?
No. Dude, seriously, at my age, I was grossed out. Turn that off. No, I was grossed out just like the rest of America watching Matt make out with her.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, God. His making out is so gross, too. The way Matt's kissing style is just like, I have to look away sometimes. I'm like, oh, it's loud and noisy. Ugh.
Yeah. And then to be doing it with someone half your age.
You would have had. I'm not trying to say.
Yeah. If I was 21, in a heartbeat, of course.
But like, not all of them, just those types.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I never had access to that type of woman when I was that age.
To like an aggrieved white Instagram model.
Yeah, we didn't have Instagram back then.
The same type of women were still around, girls.
Yeah, but I didn't have access to them.
I thought you said, what's the point of this song if you're not gonna, if you didn't, I thought you did. You were
a stripper. I had sex with... you're right, not that type of woman. Turn that off. Just that, not that type of woman. So maybe I'm trying to make up for what I didn't have.
All right, fine, whatever.
Actually, it's interesting you bring up McKenna, because I wrote her down in my notes this episode, because Katie is wearing a McKenna pearl barrette on the group date, the evening portion. I didn't even notice what she was wearing as her outfit, but with her hair pulled back on one side, it's a big fake pearl barrette like McKenna loved to wear.
So good observation. What was I gonna say? Tyler Cameron's gonna be on next episode. EZR.
Yeah, Tyler Cameron's coming on next week, and it looks like Heather will be arriving probably.
Oh, I like her.
I don't remember much about her.
Colton, Susan.
She had never been kissed before. I remember that Colton was her first kiss. Yeah.
Right.
And she went to the same college as Cassie. They went to college together.
Oh, interesting.
It's a religious school, as you might expect.
Yeah, in Orange County.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So that's only where I remember her. University. She'd never been kissed. And I think Tayshia might have went there too, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's
end. So she's arriving. Oh, do we want to? We can save this for next week. But I wrote down what Justenia and MJ are wearing. We could also just put it on next week.
Yeah, next week. Yeah, we'll do a whole MJ Justenia unit next week. Okay. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, you mentioned Tyler's coming, Heather's coming. It'll be a whole return.
The whole thing. Yes. Sure. The whole thing. EZR?
No. Nothing.
All right. Well, I'm going to go recover from being ambushed here during the fashion roundup.
You know, what would have been, Craig,
if
you had been growing up right now and could have been an Instagram star.
I could have.
He was born in the wrong decade, Craig.
My God. Craig would have been Blake.
Yes, totally.
Would you have gone on The Bachelor, Craig? A bachelorette, I mean, as a contestant, obviously. Obviously.
I don't know. I had a roommate in college who, like, when the Real World came around, he went and tried to apply. He didn't go get anywhere with it, but
sometimes they keep you around. Like, you know, they like you, but they don't like you for this person. It's not exactly the same. Right. They try to play it. The Bachelor franchise tries to play it like you sign up when you know that person's going to be on. But really, it's the other way around. You sign up, and then they keep you around until they know the dynamic works better. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I can answer that question.
That they're showing the casting stuff now, and it's like for the next one or the one after that. So yeah, they clearly, if they like you as a character / person, they'll put you on wherever you fit.
Yeah.
So you would not have tried.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that.
So your life that you would have lived, you wouldn't even have lived. That's
no, because I would have been on Instagram. That's different. I just don't know if I would have made the leap to The Bachelor.
But that's how that's what they're all doing. They all want to be what you're saying you want to be. You know, if I could live the life of an Instagram follower, of an Instagram star,
an influencer. TikTok. So let's get
okay. Well, it's the same stuff. You just dance instead of, you know, here stand by the beach.
Yeah. Craig, would you have gone on another type of show, like Love Island or something like that?
Love Island is totally made for old Craig. Young Craig.
Okay, I'm ending the episode.
Oh, yes.
This has been fun. tune in next week. We'll have more witty banter. And
why would you call it that? Craig, what would have been if your life had just turned out the way you wanted it to.
I'm hitting
maybe
stop.
Maybe we could go on the old Bachelor when they come back with like the
oh
old
my god, yes.
Okay, I'm stopping the recording.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm just messing with you, Craig.